Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good seeing y'all. Do you know how much not fun it is? Can I say that any more convolutedly-ish? How not fun it is to be in a room and preach a sermon to a camera. You know, at least if people come in here and they fall asleep during the sermon, at least they're physically there, right? But it's wonderful to see you. The thing is, we have not been together in over a year. When when we first shut down, you may recall that it was March 8th. That was our last Sunday to worship in this sanctuary physically. Then, you know, fast forward to, you know, that Wednesday, I think the 11th, we were in Lent at that time. And, you know, the numbers were much smaller then because news was really starting to spread about this pandemic that we didn't know anything about. And so that Friday the 13th, got to always watch Friday the 13th. What is it with Friday the 13th, right? But that Friday the 13th, everything stopped. We were even supposed to have a baptism on that the 15th, that Sunday. Everything stopped. And it was actually kind of creepy to come into the church and look around, because it was like one of those apocalyptic movies, you know, the ones where it seems like everything is frozen in time. I expected to see a clock on the wall that was frozen on, you know, on Friday the 13th at 10 o'clock or something. But I came in and the hymn boards still said the notation for that Sunday in Lent. It's like time stood still. It was weird. We've experienced a lot over this last year. We've learned a lot over this last year. We've learned that Lutherans can change. Reluctantly, but we can change. We can do things differently. Overnight, we went from having no worship presence online, not a live worship presence anyway, to then being able to have worship services. There, we didn't know really about this Zoom thing or how to use YouTube or YouTube Live. But we were able to maintain some continuity in our worship. Many of you today, I've seen online, and we've been able to interact, sometimes just seeing each other, sometimes just really talking. We found that ministry is not about only where things happen. It's about who they happen through. That's what ministry is. That's why for the last over a year, every Sunday I greet worshipers online with "Hello, church." Because we are the church. We are the ones that Jesus called into action. We are the ones that are called to relate with one another, to reach out. We've even been able to, through technology, we've been able to include people who have moved away. We've been able to include people that, you know, we had worshipers join us for the first time online. Some of our congregation members, they would send links to their family in Pennsylvania and all sorts of other places so that they could worship with us. It's a different world. Some say that we are returning to worship, that we're resuming worship. There's all these re words, but re means essentially going backwards, doing it again the way it was. But we're doing things in a new way. Hopefully these restrictions will no longer be with us in a short time, but you know, we have cameras mounted at the back of the church to be able to carry what we are doing to the world, to our congregation that's not able to be here with us today. We're able to, you know, to pump the audio of this service out into the parking lot so people can worship there if they wish. So people talk about this normal stuff, and this year has taught us many things, but one of them is that normalcy is not a static thing. Normalcy is a description of whatever's going on at the current time. We try to maintain some stability in it, but what is normal? What's normal for Alfredo? Yeah, you're back in person, buddy. I gotta, you know, you just gotta know. Okay? What's normal for Alfredo may not be what's normal for Shirley or for Bob or for me, right? So what is returning to normalcy? You know, we're hearing this returning to a new normal, you know, however we describe it, we have proven as a church that it's the relationships and it's the Spirit of Christ that binds us. That's what's important. All of you here are important. And I'm thankful for you. So we are used to the normal rhythm of coming here to worship and going out to our normal lives. Again, whatever normal is. We go and do our jobs, work with our families, and have fun and all that. And we come here to process what we have experienced in life, to make sense out of what we've experienced, to be filled. But I think what we've found is that wherever we are worshiping, whether we're physically in this building, whether we're online somewhere, you know, who knows where you could be, but wherever we worship, we are changed. We are transformed by the heart of Jesus. We are different. This is Jesus' purpose. We learned last week that that we are to bear fruit. What other purpose is there for a vine? What purpose is there for a church? We don't exist for ourselves. We exist to grow, to bear fruit, and then to share that fruit. So today, as we encounter the Scriptures, this is the last Sunday of the season of Easter. And our Gospel from John 17 is actually before the Easter event. John 17 is known as the High Priestly Prayer. This is Jesus praying for His disciples. But this is after Jesus has met with His disciples, where they had the Last Supper, where He washed their feet, where He knelt in humble service to take care of them. And, you know, He asked them at that point, He said, "Do you know what I'm doing for you?" He said, "I'm your teacher, yes. But I have washed your feet. I want you to go and do this service for other people." Now, thankfully, Jesus isn't telling us to go wash each other's feet. I don't think that that's, that, you know, because if I were to go and wash Cindy's feet, I don't think she'd be really happy with me, right? And so people could think that that's a little bit weird to go wash each other's feet, and you might even get arrested for it. Who knows? But He tells us about love. What does love look like? What does it do? So, Jesus calls us to that kind of humility. Jesus calls us to a different kind of love that loves people not only when they're our friends and when things are going well, but to love people when, you know, we might even use the word hate. To love people when your friends may scatter or betray you, as happened to Jesus. But the message of Jesus on that Maundy Thursday, that's where we get those readings for. Jesus asks that we love. And that love, as we follow Jesus' command, is transformative. It makes a difference in our lives. And people around us can feel it. They can perceive it. And that kind of love is anything but normal. But again, is the kingdom of God supposed to be normal? Is the church supposed to be normal, predictable, consistent, controlled? There's a movement of the Holy Spirit that is to enliven us and to call us to move with the direction of the Spirit. That's what we do. Jesus said, "I am no longer in the world, but they," meaning his disciples, "are in the world, and I'm coming to you." Have you ever heard the phrase, "We are called to be in the world, but not of the world"? I know this is a secret to you, but I grew up in Southeast Texas, also known as No. See, I have to train you. It's not the end of the world. It is the Holy Land. So in the Holy Land, in Southeast Texas, I grew up at a time where you could talk very freely about faith. You could talk about how faith impacts how you live. And people were very open about that. But I then grew up with a very black and white perspective of how I perceive and interact with other people. So your actions, the things that you say, the things that you do, are either of the world or they are of God. There was no gray in there. So the thing is, those of us who were Christians, who were of God, we had to fend off. We had to defend ourselves against those things that were of the world. And so a believer then was expected to do things that were consistent with being of God. But one of the many fascinating things about this prayer from Jesus is that he doesn't pray for his people to be taken away from the world, removed from the world. He doesn't ask for that. He asks for protection. He understands that you and I are in this world, but we are motivated by his Spirit. That's what we are rooted in. So instead of calling us out of the world, he sends us into it. We live in and are sent into the world not to carry fear of being infected by the world, but instead we have faith, we have strength, we have confidence, knowing that Jesus is with us. It gives us a certain kind of humble boldness. And that humble boldness comes from what we are rooted in. You see, in the world, but not of the world, actually puts a lot of attention, focus, weight on you and I. To be either of the world or in the world. And if I happen to do something that is considered by some to be of the world, does that mean I'm not of God? Does that mean I'm a bad Christian or not a Christian or not saved? Do you see the rabbit hole that this can get us going down into? It has us, look at our actions and everything that we say and do with a micro focus. But is that where Jesus wants our attention to be? Jesus, I believe, wants our attention not to be looking at ourselves and our actions in that way, But instead, he wants us to look to him. You see, it's adjusting where our focus is or where our focus should be. We need to be focused on Jesus. We need to be focused on bearing fruit, on remaining connected with him. We're called through Psalm 1 to be rooted in God, where it says that all who are rooted in God and his teaching are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Jesus' prayer is for us to remain rooted, connected to him, to each other, and from him we draw nourishment and strength. Jesus knew that he would not be on the earth forever. Jesus knew that he would be arrested, tried, convicted, crucified, and rise again. But even then, he wouldn't remain on the earth forever. All of this was not normal for his disciples. So as you and I navigate this new part, this new phase in our lives, how will we live that humble boldness? How will we fulfill Jesus' prayer that we may be one as Jesus and the Father are one? That little word as the Father and I are one, is small but is so powerful. As, meaning in the same way or in a like manner. So when we say we're doing this as Jesus and the Father are one, what is that? How are we one as Jesus and the Father are one? We hear so much about the divisions around us. The divisions are of the world. This is not what the kingdom of God is about. The kingdom of God is not about squashing differences, but about embracing them. It's not about shutting people down, but listening to them. It's not about minimizing people, but building them up. It's about mutuality. It's about respect. It has no thought of tearing down or destroying, but encouraging, loving. The kingdom of God is about joy and being in community. And in the kingdom of God, we can disagree, but not be disagreeable. We can be angry, but not sin. We can be different, but still be one as Jesus and the Father are one. As Paul writes, "Therefore, let us be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live in love, just as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us." In the name of Jesus, amen.